You can't tell me as an OKC fan, you're not going to be a little bit nervous if LeBron and Luka walk up in there. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, yo, yo. What's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real podcast coming at you once again. As always, don't forget to like and subscribe and share and tell a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend. YouTube, Spotify, wherever you're watching, listening, I appreciate it. As always, I really do. Don't forget to check out the website, sportsintheReal.tv. As always, sportsintheReal.tv, that's where you have the latest and greatest links to the episodes, links to the episode on YouTube, and you can listen to the podcast on there. I have my favorite clips on there. You get access to the resources of some of the interviews I've had in the past and some of the experts I've had on, you know, for mental health and business and things like that. Y'all check out the website. Stay in touch. Stay connected to the website. More to come. And I know it's been a while since I recorded. Got a lot of things going on. But besides that, y'all, I ain't gonna lie. Your boy been under the weather. These kids running around the house, man, been sick. They get sick. Next thing you know, I'm sick. My wife is sick. And I ain't want to be coughing on y'all. Tell the truth, you know, my voice still ain't 100. But, you know, I'm going to try to hold it down because it's been a while. And I got some hot takes to get off my chest. But, but yeah, I appreciate y'all supporting, as always. And I really do mean that for taking a few minutes to check out, you know, what I got to say. So let me jump right into it. There's a couple of things I want to say before I really get into, you know, what I want to talk about. So I want to talk about contenders and pretenders in the league, right, as the playoffs are around the corner next month in April. Before I get there, though, I wanted to talk about this, but, you know, a lot of things going on, like I said, getting sick and all that, didn't get to get around. So I'm going to say it, all right? It's late, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm gonna make it quick. Adam Silver, I've talked about Adam Silver before, and that he doesn't know what NBA fans really want to watch. But I'm going to say this. His hands are tied behind his back. And part of it is his own fault. Adam Silver is like, you ever been to the store and you see like parents whose kids are acting up? I went to I was in Publix recently. And, you know, this lady's with her child. And her child, you know, drops herself on the floor and is screaming. I'm like, can you get this child off the floor? And everybody in the store looking at the mom like, what is going on? You letting this kid go crazy? Adam Silver is like the parent in the store whose kid is acting up, who's crying, who's knocking things over, running around, yelling. And the rest of the store is looking at him like, are you going to parent? Are you going to parent Adam Silver? Are you going to let these dudes ruin the league, ruin what generations of dudes have built? And I say this after watching an All-Star. I didn't watch the All-Star game. I ain't going to lie. I watched part of it. But I didn't watch the whole thing. It was whack. But an All-Star weekend, which was pretty trash. But the All-Star game, I looked at the numbers. I looked up the numbers after the All-Star game, and it was like a 13% decrease in viewership. Nobody wants to watch the All-Star game anymore. And Adam Silver is trying everything he can to make All-Star weekend interesting. But the players ain't paying attention to him. They're paying him no mind. You can't get these dudes to do anything seriously. Dunk contest, the highest flying dudes who should be in there aren't in there. So you got Matt McClung in there representing three times in a row. Like, Adam Silver, what are you going to do about it, dude? Like, when are you going to take control? You're the parent who's allowing the child to sit up in a store and cry. You're this new wave of gentle parenting, modern style of gentle parenting, where if I try this, maybe they'll cooperate. If I give them this, maybe they'll cooperate. If I give them a whole week after the All-Star game, maybe they'll cooperate. The players have shown their hand. The players have shown who they are, man. They don't care. They don't care anymore. They're making too much money. So the NBA and Adam Silver is going to have to change their stance and how they handle the players. They're going to have to be tougher parenting. It's Stop letting the kids embarrass you in the store, bro. Like, NFL players wouldn't try this stuff. Roger Goodell wouldn't let them do it. Can you imagine Roger Goodell? Can you imagine Roger Goodell as the NFL commissioner, as the NBA commissioner? Roger Goodell as the NFL commissioner, NFL players were complaining, hey, man, we're playing too many regular preseason games. Like, we don't need so many preseason games. He said, fine, we'll cut out preseason games. We'll add an extra regular season game. Now you have to play. We don't like Thursday night games. We don't like Thursday games. Okay, fine, you'll play Thursday. We'll have Friday games. We'll have Wednesday games. Roger Goodell don't give a damn, bro. Y'all not going to tell him what to do. He rules with an iron fist. And NFL players are the ones who should have the most leniency, who should get the most slack because they put their bodies on the line, their brains on the line, injuries and all these things. But yet their commissioner is the one that's heavy-handed. He don't give a damn. Thursday night game after a Sunday night game? Oh, well. If Roger Goodell was commissioner of the NBA, these boys would be playing 82 straight games back-to-back. There would be no such thing, no concept as back-to-back if Roger Goodell were the commissioner of the NBA. You wouldn't know you were playing back-to-back. You'd just be playing every day. Ain't no such thing as a back-to-back. If every day is a back-to-back, it's just a game. Just another game. Roger Goodell wouldn't put up with this BS. Dudes taking a week off after the All-Star game. He'll have y'all playing 82 games in 3 months. We would have quarterly NBA champions. You are a Q1 2025 NBA champion if Roger Goodell were the commissioner. Nah, but seriously, though, because these dudes are taking advantage of Adam Silver's niceness. And David Stern wouldn't put up with this. Like, at some point, you got to take a stance because the kids are embarrassing you in the store, Adam Silver. Every time they ask for something, you give it to them. Hey, you guys don't want to play for a whole week after the All-Star game? Here it is. He opens up the offense. Less contact, less physicality. He tries, you know, to limit the number of back-to-back games. Like, Adam Silver is trying everything to appease the players, and the players are just spitting in his face. Oh, I'm going to change the concept of the All-Star game and make it like, no, this young sucks, man. We need the best players in the world playing somewhat hard. But these guys are ruining the league. They're ruining the foundation that previous generations set for them. They're killing it. These dudes claim that Kobe Bryant is their idol and their Black Mamba mentality and this and that, but they don't have it, bro. You're lying. I've said it before. You guys are lying. You're not Mamba mentality. Because Kobe got his nose broken or like at an All-Star game. Kobe locked down some people's goat in an All-Star game, clamped them, couldn't even get a shot off in an All-Star game. But these modern dudes refuse to go 50% at an All-Star game. So Adam Silver has to make up some stupid mini tournament. That was dumb. Draymond Green called it out. Like, it's just stupid. Because there is a generation of players who, I've said it before and I'll say it again, who don't really love hoop. Don't give me no excuses about too many engagements during All-Star weekend. Don't give me that. I ain't trying to hear it. Make $300 million. Show up to a couple events. Kiss babies. Shake hands. Get out of there. And we're not asking you to go 100% at the All-Star game. We just want to see y'all hoop. Give some kind of effort. Compete a little bit. And get out of there. Then you'll get a week rest. But these guys are spoiled. I don't care what they say. They're spoiled. And they're spitting on the legacy that previous generations created to allow them to get $300 million contract without even winning a championship. And Adam Silver as the parent, Adam Silver as the commissioner, your kids are spoiled, bro. Your kids are acting up in the store, flailing on the ground, and you look like a fool. The whole store is looking at you. Like, what you gonna do? The kids acting up, what you gonna do? You a parent? Are you gonna fall for it and buy them that candy that they're begging for? That's just my take on that. Anyway, I've been holding that back. I've been wanting to get that off my chest for a while, man. Literally, my voice was gone. I was coughing all the time. So I'm glad to be back. So, all right. So that's that. Let's talk about what I really want to talk about, which is NBA season's about to wrap up in about a month. So there's legit teams and there's not legit teams. And if you just look at records and wins and scoring, you'll think, you know, some teams are legit when they're really not. Let me break it down for y'all real quick. Let me talk to y'all. Let's talk contenders and pretenders in the East, the Eastern Conference. All right, let's start with the Eastern Conference first. So the standings go like this. Cleveland, the Cavaliers, the Celtics, the Knicks, the Pacers, the Bucks, the Pistons. That's the top six. And then you have the play-in folks, which gets into Atlanta, Orlando, Chicago, and the Heat. Orlando probably would have had a better season had Jalen Suggs been there. He kind of sets the defensive tone for them, but he hasn't been there. He's been hurt, and I don't know if he has a timeline for coming back. Probably not even for the playoffs. So they're kind of, you know, I thought they would have been a scarier team, not maybe a real championship contender, but I thought they would have been a real threat to scare some teams. But right now they're in the eighth spot, and they're really struggling along. But it's Cleveland, Boston, New York, the Pacers, the Bucks, the Pistons. All right, those are the top six teams right now. So let's talk pretenders and contenders. We'll go bottom to top, all right? The Pistons. The Pistons are not title contenders, but the Pistons are a scary team, all right? The more I watch the Pistons, and I talked about this last year, if y'all go back and watch, last year when the Pistons were in like a 20-something game winning streak, I talked about this squad, man. And Jaden Ivey's hurt, so they're not even at full stack. But I talked about this Pistons team. I'm like, man, I like this young squad. I like Ausar Thompson. Cade Cunningham is kind of unstoppable on offense. He could do it all. I mean, he's still young. He still makes young mistakes. But when bro wants to score, he's kind of tough to guard. Less athletic Grant Hill with a better Jay. Like Jaden Ivey, when he's there, like he gets in the paint at will. They got some boys. That boy Jalen Duren, like, reminded me of Kevin Willis. I said it. He's a baller. And now they got Tobias Harris, veteran presence. Like, the Detroit Pistons are not a championship contender, but they're gonna scare somebody in the first round. They're gonna scare one of the top teams in the first round, the Detroit Pistons. But no, they're not contenders. Really good team, though. I really, really like this team coming up in the future. Like, they continue to build. J.B. Bickerstaff's doing a hell of a job. They're gonna be a problem, man. I'm telling you. Jaden Ivey comes back to full health. This team's gonna be a problem. They defend, they can shoot, score. Like, once they get some experience, they're gonna be like that. But no, they're not contenders. Not for a title, at least. The Bucks are sitting at 5. And I'm going to say this. I think a lot of people have checked out on the Bucks. A lot of people have checked out on Giannis and who Giannis is, man. And I don't appreciate it. A lot of people sit there and watch Giannis put up these nasty stat lines. And they're like, Giannis is overlooked as like an MVP candidate. Like, bro puts up nasty 30-point, 15-rebound night, 6 assists, and people are like, ho-hum. People are so dead focused on the Joker, to be honest with you. and even Shea, that they overlook Giannis and the stats he puts up. Like, Giannis is still a freak, man. He's still unstoppable. And because of that, I think Milwaukee is a contender because of the freak. He is still unstoppable. And Dame has been rejuvenated. Now, Dame still struggles on defense. But when he makes up his mind, he can lock down one-on-one. And he's still Dame time on offense. When he gets going, he gets going. Now, I thought earlier in the year, I picked them to win the East. I thought Chris Middleton was going to return to form, but it turns out his injury was chronic. So Chris Middleton gets traded for Kuzma. I don't know if Kuzma is really like the third part of the three-headed monster that they need. Kuzma's more of a role player. High-level role player, but role player. He's not what Chris Middleton was, that championship run. He's not. So because of that, I have my reservations somewhat, but I still have them as a title contender because I think that Dame and Giannis can carry. I really, really do. And I think they can play. They play really, really good defense. People have overlooked that. They play really good defense. And they shoot the three ball really well. So they can score, they can shoot, and they can defend. And they got two guys who are bona fide playoff scorers. Bona fide playoff scorers. Robin Lopez, or Brooke Lopez, is still there, I should say. He's still a big presence in the paint. He still knocks down threes, gets block shots on defense. Listen, man, people don't like Doc. That's their reservation. People don't like Doc. I still think the Bucks are a threat to win the East. So the Bucks, at 38-30, where they sit right now in the fifth seed, I think the Milwaukee Bucks are a threat to win a championship. Y'all bookmark that. Fourth seed Pacers. The Pacers aren't a championship contender, man. This team scores a hell of a lot. They score with ease. They're fast-paced. They don't have enough variety. Like, the Bucks have variety. They can go inside. They can go outside. The Pacers don't have variety. It's run and gun and pick and roll to threes. And their defense, which is much improved, still ain't that great. So in the playoffs, when they start playing the better teams who can game plan, I don't know if they'll be able to stop anybody come playoff time. They're like middle of the pack defensively right now. Last year they were just awful. But I don't see the Patriots as contenders because they can score with anybody, but it's not variety in their scoring. It's Holly and the other point guards, Namehart, and you know whoever else running pick and rolls, open three. You know, jump shot, layups, whatever, right? They don't have any paint presence, no real paint presence, all right? So they play the same kind of offense as the Celtics, who I'll get to, but they don't have nearly the two-way play that the Celtics have, two-way players that the Celtics have. So the Pacers right now sit in fourth seed in the East at 39-29. And they may win their first round matchup. I don't know, depending on who they play. I don't think they'll beat if they play 4-5 against the Bucks, I don't think they'll beat the Bucks. But who knows? I could be wrong here. I could be overlooking something. Like maybe, you know, they just score that well that they could beat somebody. But at some point, you got to play real defense. And I don't think they play real defense, like legit lockdown defense. Like I said, better than last year, but I don't think it's nearly good enough for them to be a contender. So nice team, nice regular season team, not playoff, not title contenders. Let's move on. The Knicks. Whew, I like the Knicks. I really do. I'm a Jalen Brunson fan. Straight baller. Tom Thibodeau's my guy, former Bulls coach. The Knicks aren't title contenders, man. The Knicks' problem is they are limited. And people complain that Thibodeau plays his starters too many minutes. Like, you'll see fans complaining online about that. He has no choice. The Knicks bench is not that good. They're not. They're limited. So because of that, their starters, like every time Thibodeau team, have to play a lot of minutes. OG Anunoby is pretty much this, you know, a new version of Luol Deng. They got to play a lot of minutes. But besides that, besides the minutes and all that, I said it at the beginning of the year, I don't see the Knicks as having enough parts, enough scoring, right? If you take away Brunson down a stretch, like, who's a creator who's going to go create, get buckets? Cat scores. Cat can score. But Cat doesn't create on offense. You get what I'm saying? Cat doesn't create offense for those around him. He can get his own bucket. But in the playoffs, when you can throw big bodies at him, I don't see Cat being like the secondary automatic guy that you kind of need nowadays. Really, that you've always needed. You've always needed a big-time secondary player. And the Knicks, like, atypical of a Tom Thibodeau team, they don't play lockdown defense like that. Yeah, they got some good defensive pieces, Anunoby and Josh Hart. But Cat gets exposed on defense. Jalen Brunson can't really defend. So they got some holes. They got some holes. So the Knicks, really good regular season team. I don't know if they can reach the finals. They're going to be a tough out now. I'm not going to say it's a cakewalk. They're going to be a tough out. But I don't see them having enough scoring. They got guys who are so dependent. Like, if you watch them without Jalen Brunson against the Warriors, like, they got guys who are so dependent on Jalen Brunson to create, to get doubled, pick and roll, kick out, so on and so forth. They're so dependent on Jalen Brunson that if you take him away come playoff time, teams are going to try to do, who's the other creator that you can count on? So, like, this guy can create offense, get other people to open shots, can get himself open looks. I don't think they really have that. So, good team, not good enough to be considered title contenders. All right? 43-25, third seed. Good, not title contenders. Boston Celtics. Whew. What can I say, man? I've been hating on the Celtics for like a year. And it's not for no reason, Celtics fan. Y'all remember I picked the Celtics to win the championship the year they lost to the Heat and the year they lost to the Warriors. I was calling Jaylen Brown and Tatum Mike and Scotty. Like, the next Mike and Scotty, that's what I called them. Go back in the episodes, man. When I first started this podcast, I was like, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum could be like Mike and Scotty. Long wings, you can't get around them. Like, both two-way players. Man, they let me down. They choked. So I thought they were going to choke again last year, but everybody got hurt, and they won a championship. Kudos to them. Bravo. But you know what? Can't lie. These boys are definitely contenders, probably the biggest contender in the East, in my opinion, despite what the record says, and I'll talk about the Cavs in a bit. So I consider the Celtics team the same way the Warriors, when they first won their first championship, people got hurt, right? I remember the Grizzlies had injuries. Mike Conley was hurt, and Kyrie gets hurt in the first game of the NBA Finals, right? They win their championship, blah, blah, blah. Not that the Warriors wouldn't have won anyway, but it was easier for them to win that first championship. But by the time that second championship came around, the Warriors were legit, and nobody was going to beat them because they had learned how to win. They had learned how to be tough in the playoffs. You weren't going to beat them. And you know what, y'all? I hate to say it. Some of y'all think I'm the number one Celtics hater. But I think the Celtics just, they learned how to win last year. So if you were going to beat them, it should have been last year Now the Celtics know how to win. Despite what the records may say, right, they're at 50-19 now. It's not as good as a record that they had last regular season. They've lost games that they probably should have won against teams they should have beaten. I don't think they're as focused. They've had injuries here and there. Drew's been out. KP's been out. But if I'm being honest, I think the Celtics team might be better than last year's team, if only because they have more experience and they know how to win now. They know what it takes. Last year, I still think they were still kind of nervous. You could tell in certain spots they were nervous. I think now they figured out how to win, and they've mastered their offense. And there's really no one who can take advantage of their weaknesses. So the Celtics' strength is pretty much like their top six, seven players are all two-way players. You can't take advantage of them on offense, and you can't take advantage of them on defense. Like, there's nobody, like, you try to matchup hunt, you can't do that against the Celtics because their guys can shoot and their guys can defend. So that makes them a tough out. And to me, that makes them a super contender for the title. And they have the experience of winning now. They're going to be a tough out, man. They're going to be a tough out. The Celtics legit have like seven guys who all score, who all can score, all can shoot, and all can defend. And the only way you can take advantage of them is with somebody who's huge on the inside, like a Joker. But a Joker plays in the Western Conference. So they wouldn't see the Joker until the finals. So yeah, the Celtics to me are like the biggest contender in the Eastern Conference. They unfortunately, they won last year, despite it being a cakewalk with everybody hurt. But I think that taught them something. They learned something. And I think so far this year, they honestly, I don't think they've been as locked in. That's why the record is what it is. I don't think they've been as locked in like they were last year. They're just going to wait till the playoffs. And then come playoff time, they're just going to be stomping teams. So that's my thought on the Celtics. True contender, 100%. The Cavaliers. There's been a lot of talk about the Cavaliers. And I'm going to say this. I like the Cavs, great team. The Cavaliers are a regular season team, man. They really are. Like if you bring the Cavs to the playoffs and you're like, who are the legit playoff ballers, like playoff scorers on that squad, experienced playoff scorers, what are you going to say? Donovan, maybe Darius Garland. Evan Mobley's having a nice season, but is he ready for big-time basketball when there's a game plan and there's big-body dudes, good defensive teams to stop them? Not that they're going to go home early. I don't know if they'll get kicked out first round. There's really no challengers right now. The 1-8 seed, if it's them and, I don't know. Well, right now, the 8 seed, let's say the 8 seed is the Magic. The Magic just beat them recently, so I don't think they want to play the Magic. But I think they could beat the Magic, right? But the point is, they're a good team, great team in a regular season. But come playoff time, when teams start to lock in on you and try to force you to do things you're not comfortable with, who on that team besides Donovan and maybe Garland, who you're like, okay, these guys, they can do some things despite the game plan being like specifically for them. Like I said, Evan Mobley's having a nice season, but I've seen Evan Mobley struggle against size, against the Celtics. Sometimes he looks like he struggles against somebody like Luke Kornet or something. I think size bothers him. I don't think he's as strong. So I think big, long dudes bothers Evan Mobley. So I'm not saying they're going to get kicked out first round. But I do think the Cavs are limited. They got some shooters, all right, around Donovan Mitchell and them boys. They got Max Strus. They got Ty Jerome. Like, they got some guys who can play. All right? But I just don't see them as a big-time NBA Finals contender. I just see it as if they play a team, they play the Celtics? when they play the Celtics, if they match up, the 1-2, so that would be like conference championship. I think the Celtics might sweep them. Take that thing seriously and sweep them. That's just me. I don't take the Cavs as championship contenders. I just see them as a team that's really good in the regular season. They won 16, 17 straight or whatever recently, but now they're on a 3-game losing streak. That's neither here nor there. I just don't think they have enough pieces when the chips get, just like the Knicks. And Garland may be better as a creator than who the Knicks have as a second piece, but I just don't see them as having enough around Donovan, around Darius Garland, to say this team here is full of a bunch of dogs. You know Donovan can get his. The Celtics can't stop Donovan worth of nothing. And Darius Garland can go off. But in the playoffs, do you trust all these guys? Do you really trust the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs? As a Cavs fan, do you really trust this team right now? In the playoffs, when things get tight? When calls start being scarce or more scarce than they are in the regular season? When teams start to game plan better? Again, they can win a series or two, but finals contenders? I don't see it. So really in the East, I only got two contenders. The Celtics, who was the number one contender. And it sucks for me to say that. I hate saying that. And the Bucks. I think the Bucks have somebody, guys who have proven in the playoffs to be like that. And Giannis is a carrier. Giannis can go off. Despite his struggles still shooting jump shots, despite his midi being much better this year than it's ever been in his life. But we know Giannis can carry. And we know Dame can get hot. So for four series, four games, that's the only other team in the East. I'm like, okay, these guys can contend for a championship. Celtics and the Bucks. Like the Celtics, man, I hate saying it, but they could go on a run. Just because of the way the league is set up, there is no big men. And their style of play can't be duplicated because they have a ton of two-way guys that hardly anybody else has. All right, that was the Eastern Conference. The West. So the West runs down like this. OKC, the Rockets at number two, the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Grizz, the Warriors at six, the Clippers at seven, the Timberwolves at eight, the Sacramento Kings at nine, the Phoenix Suns at 10, Mavericks at 11. I really thought the Mavericks, when they got AD, would have did something. And of course, the assumption was AD was going to stay healthy, but these guys, for whatever reason, and it's nothing to laugh at, there's something always comes up with Anthony Davis. And they call him street clothes for a reason. And then Kyrie gets hurt for the season with an ACL. So it's unfortunate to see what happened to Dallas. But it's OKC, Houston, Lakers, Nuggets, Grizz, Warriors, Clips, Timberwolves, Kings, Suns, Mavericks at 11. Portland sucks as a young team. San Antonio, Wemby got hurt, unfortunately, right? So that's what it is. All right, so let's deal with the top team, who I think are contenders. I'm going to say this. I picked Anthony Edwards to win MVP, and I already talked about him. I think the last episode I talked about why the Timberwolves struggle and why Ant-Man needs to take advantage of his gifts, and he has recently. And by the way, can I pause right there? I was watching the Timberwolves broadcast a couple games ago. I forget who they were playing. I'll have to find a clip and post it so y'all can see. Is Anthony Edwards watching your boy's podcast? Does Anthony Edwards follow your boy? Because last year after they lost in the playoffs to the Mavs, I was like, yo, Anthony Edwards needs to watch some Luka tape, needs to watch how Luka deals with double teams. That's what I said last year. I'll pull up the tape. I said, Ant-Man, you know, he's great. He can be, his game could be unstoppable if he goes and watches Luke, how Luka plays off of double teams and sets dudes up, and how he reads, how he plays with 2 feet in the paint, how he reads things, right? He reads how defenses are playing them, and you know, all that jazz. That's what I said last year after they lost in the playoffs to the Mavs. And guess what I hear as I'm watching? Who are they playing? Were they playing the Pacers? Recent game. I'm going to find a clip. I'm going to post a clip. I'm going to pat myself on the back. Because I'm watching a game and the announcer is talking about Anthony Edwards has been watching tape of lately of Luka Doncic. Did Ant-Man hear me out? Is Ant-Man secretly following your boy? Your aunt, if you're following, I appreciate it, but I'm going to tell you this. Yes, watch how Luka deals with double teams, how he reads double teams, how he plays off of 2 feet in the mid-range, how he doesn't get rushed into bad shots. But, bro, if you're listening, for the love of God, please, please, I know you've been attacking more, but you need to attack even more. You don't need 10 threes a game, bro. I'm telling you, you really don't. They lost to the Pacers the other day because Ant kept shooting three after three after three instead of attacking. He had plenty of opportunity to attack, and he didn't. Get downhill, bro. That is your greatest strength, getting downhill, drawing contact. And I know you've been doing that more, but you need to go even more. Even more. Because that's your greatest gift. I'm not saying don't shoot threes. I don't think you need to be shooting 10, 12 threes a game. That's just me. But anyway, I had the Timberwolves as my pick to go to the finals from the West. I thought Ant was going to win MVP. Obviously, he's not going to be MVP. I still like the Timberwolves, man. Julius Randle had got hurt, and since he's been back, they went on a winning streak. Like, they're playing team ball. Julius is no longer over-dribbling, at least not as much as he was. Like, they still got a nice squad. They still defend really well. And Ant can still be unstoppable when he puts his mind to it. So call me a sucker. Call me, you know, just sticking to my guns, to my predictions at the beginning of the season, whatever it is. I still like the Timberwolves, man, as a championship contender. I feel like with their defense and with the guys, the pieces they have, if they put it together, the Timberwolves can make a run to the championship. I'm a stand 10 toes in that one. But Ant, you're going to have to be the driver, man. You can't be settling for three-pointers when, like, if the shot ain't falling, if the shot's falling, cool. But if it ain't, take it to the hole, bro. But against the Pacers, he kept shooting and shooting and shooting threes. Even the announcer was like, Ant settling today. When Ant doesn't settle, he's unstoppable, and that makes the Timberwolves unstoppable. So I'm going to stick by my pick, and I think they're still contenders. I think the Timberwolves are still contenders. I don't know if the Clippers are contenders. They play really good defense, though. I don't know if they have enough pieces. James Harden is not prime James Harden, even though sometimes he still scores a ton, and he still can make some buckets, but we know playoff James Harden. And I don't know who, you know, Norm Powell's having a great year, but I don't think they really have the squad to contend in the West. So let's go on from there. The Warriors sitting in the sixth seed right now. They've been straight on fire since they got Jimmy Butler. Listen, man, I saw Jimmy Butler carry a team of Miami Heat players like Tyler Hero and Bam, who really were young and, you know, inexperienced and with just defense and just toughness. I've seen playoff Jimmy carry the team to the finals. But that was in the East. I don't know if the Warriors are contenders. I don't think they have enough pieces. Again, I've seen Jimmy carry guys who people wouldn't consider great pieces to the finals, but that was in the East. But man, do they look good. They defend, they play smart. Like, the Warriors look really good. I just don't know if they have enough pieces. Obviously, Jimmy and Steph are all-star caliber players. Draymond's offense is, his shot is nowhere to be found. He's still a playmaker, still a hell of a defender. So it's not like you could, you know, you have to take him off the floor. But who else is there to score for them? They don't really have scoring like that. So I think in the playoffs, when teams game plan, especially in the West with the better teams, I think the Warriors struggle. So I don't know if the Warriors have enough pieces to truly call themselves contenders. But they got a hell of a squad right now making noise in the regular season. They look really good. I knew it would be better with Jimmy over Andrew Wiggins. Duh. But I didn't know if it would be that good. They look ridiculous. Like, sometimes they look like they could win the whole damn thing. I just don't know if they could put it together for four series. Four wins in four series. But at 40-29, sixth seed, anything could happen. Steph can be Steph. We've seen Steph carry guys who probably shouldn't be there. We've seen Jimmy carry guys who probably shouldn't be there. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit. But using my logical brain, I don't think so. Memphis, having a good season. That's a tough one. I don't know if Memphis has enough to be a true contender. I don't think they're the Memphis of old. I don't think Ja can still be Ja sometimes, but I don't think he's consistently Ja. Like the pre-mess, pre-injury Ja, that kid who was about to be the face of the league, that guy is not this guy. He's still tough, still a baller. But I don't know if Ja is the previous Ja. And I don't know if the Grizz really got it like that. They're not built like that. They're not built like that as a contender. I don't think they defend like they used to. Really good squad. They're kind of fun to watch. But I don't think they're built to be a contender. Fifth seed, though. Fourth seed is Denver. I want to say Denver's a championship contender. I really do. And I say this only because I respect the hell out of the Joker. Joker is the one player in the league that nobody has an answer for. There is no answer right now for the Joker. Of all the playoff contenders, he's the one guy that nobody can answer for on offense. So if Joker goes into MVP mode, he can carry these boys to a championship. He really can. The problem is the Nuggets don't really have anybody around a Joker, all right? I mean, I shouldn't say that. The problem is they have limited players around the Joker. All right? They still, they still got Aaron Gordon. Russ is good off the bench. Like, Russ is doing his thing. I like this version of Russ. All right? People were ready to kill Russ. People were ready to do away with Russ. But Russ is actually balling. And his chemistry with, if you ain't been watching, I love watching Denver because Russ's chemistry with the Joker is amazing. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, damn, what was this Russ's whole career? I don't know. Maybe he felt like he had a score. But he has really good timing and vision playing with the Joker. But the starting lineup is the Joker, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, who's, he's still a baller, but he's not the same. So he's still a baller sporadically. And if he can become what he was in the playoffs and go on the run he had a couple years ago, maybe they could go back to the finals. But The problem is Michael Porter Jr. Sometimes he's on the court, but you don't know it. He's invisible on the court. Christian Braun, he can get streaky with a shot. So the problem with them is there's a joker, but there's not much shooting around a joker. But they can make up for it because they can defend and they play smart. The real problem with the Nuggets is that their bench is a zero. And the fact that they haven't addressed the backup center, they got DeAndre Jordan, who, unfortunately, DeAndre's time is up as a true player getting regular minutes in the league. That's the problem with the Nuggets, man. It's not just a lack of shooting around Joker. It's that their bench is nowhere to be found. It ain't there. So come playoff time, I know, you know, benches get shrunk in the playoffs, but damn, Joker got to sit at some point. But the problem is when he sits, they give up leads like it ain't nothing. So I like the Nuggets, man. I think they could make a run if somehow Joker goes MVP form. Somehow, you know, Aaron Gordon starts making his threes and Jamal Murray turns into 2 years ago Jamal Murray in the playoffs. And they could absolutely make a run. But how likely is that, though? But out of respect for the Joker, I'm going to say the Nuggets are a contender simply because he is the single most unstoppable dude in the NBA. Like, you have to double him, all right? It feels like the Lakers may have kind of figured him out, which is number three, may have figured out how to stop him or limit him. But in the fourth seed right now, 44-26, I like the Denver Nuggets, all right? As a possible, it would not surprise me if the Denver Nuggets came out the West. On to the Lakers. Of course, it's the Lakers. Everybody talks about the Lakers. They get all the hype. And since Luka's been there, they look really good. I'm going to be honest. The Lakers have looked really good. They're playing much faster than when Anthony Davis was there. I didn't think they could keep this pace up with Luka because Luka is fat and slow and out of shape. But the Lakers look really good. They defend well. They run. And they know how to take advantage of most teams. They're smart. Here's the problem with the Lakers. I don't know if the Lakers are championship contenders because they have too many one-way players. I talked about this with the Celtics having a bunch of two-way players. There's nobody you can really exploit on offense, on defense in the Celtics starting lineup. Maybe they're top six or seven guys on the Celtics. You can't really exploit them on either side of the ball. The Lakers, come playoff time, they have too many one-way players. Either they're really good on offense and their defense sucks, or they can play defense and their offense sucks. The Lakers have a bunch of he with us guys. We don't mind him shooting. Matter of fact, we'll give him the tray ball. And on the other side of the ball, Luka can score, but he still ain't stopping nobody. Austin Reeves can get his, but he ain't defending nobody. You can't have that in the playoffs. Against the best teams, they're going to exploit that. The best teams are going to let Vando shoot all he wants to see if he's on the court. They ain't even going to guard him. The best teams are going to hunt for Austin Reeves, and then he'll foul out, get in foul trouble. He can't play. So I don't think as good as the Lakers look right now, I like the way they play. They play fast. Like, they're pushing the ball every chance they get. I like the hustle and the heart, the toughness they play with on defense. I just think against the best teams, I think they'll struggle. So I don't see the Lakers as a true contender. All right? Sorry, Laker fans. I don't think you have enough pieces. Of course, you still have Bron. He's still LeBron at age 40. And of course, Luka can win series by himself. He's proven that he can carry. But when you get to play the best of the best, it's going to be hard for it to be just two guys. But I'll come back to that. Put a pin in that. Two seed right now, and things are moving around in the West, right? Today, it's the Rockets are number two. Tomorrow, they could be number five, right? These teams are winning and losing games, so things can change. Houston Rockets are number two. Houston is not a contender, all right? Good young team. They're not a contender. I'm not sure they have a real number one scoring option. I like Şengün, man. I like his game. People call him Baby Joker. I don't think he's Baby Joker. He's his own guy. He's nice with it. I don't think he's a number one option in the playoffs. I don't think Jalen Green is a true number two option ready for that responsibility in the playoffs. I just think they're a really good young team that play defense. And, you know, they're coached really well. They play really good team ball. They can lock down. I mean, nobody wants to play them. I'm going to say that. Nobody really wants to play the Houston Rockets in the first round. Like, they're a really good team, well coached. But I don't see them as a championship contender. I don't, like, literally, like, think of the roster. Like, who would you say, okay, in the playoffs, this guy is unstoppable? They don't have him. Jalen Green sometimes looks good. Sometimes he's taking bad shots. So inconsistent. So I don't see the Rockets as true contenders. That leaves us with OKC. One seed, 57-12 record. A lot of people are saying OKC is a regular season team. I'm going to say this. While I still have my doubts about OKC based off of the results of last year's playoffs, this team, OKC, like the Celtics, is full of a bunch of two-way players. OKC has a bunch of guys who you can't exploit on either side of the ball. They are filled with guys who can defend and who can play offense. Even Lu Dort, who people used to try to leave open like that, now Lu Dort is making like 7-8 threes a game. And he's shooting confidently. So this talk about OKC being just a regular season team, I don't buy it, man. OKC is a legit team. Now, are they going to run through the playoffs? I don't think so. I think they could still struggle. Like, if I'm an OKC fan, I probably wouldn't want to play the Lakers because we've seen what Luka did to them last year with the Mavs team and Kyrie as his number two. Like, I can't imagine what he would do this year with LeBron as his number two. But like I said, this team, the OKC team, they are filled with a bunch of two-way players. And I think they'll beat the Lakers only because, like I said, the Lakers don't have enough two-way players. Lakers have a bunch of one-way guys. Like they have too many guys who you can leave open at the three-point line. So OKC would shrink the court on Luka and Bron. But when you think about it, though, OKC walks into the playoffs against the Lakers. Who are the best players and who you can trust in the playoffs? You'll say, okay, OKC got SGA, maybe the best player, you know, MVP of the league this year, right? OKC got SGA. Who's the next best player? You'll say Luka. Who's the next best player? You'll say Bron. Then J-Dub, Jalen Williams. So if OKC walks into a playoff series with the Lakers, as much as I'm not a big fan of the Lakers roster because I think it's, you know, too many one-way players, OKC walks into a series against the Lakers, you're like, damn, you're going to roll out SGA, and then they're going to roll out the next best two guys who have proven to be playoff performers. And any close game late, you know LeBron's going to get the calls. So if I'm an OKC fan, I don't know if I'm begging to get the Lakers at any point in the playoffs. Despite the roster that I have, and I think my roster is much better than the Lakers roster, I've just seen what Luka can do in the playoffs, and I've seen LeBron be a playoff performer for 20 years now. So as an OKC fan, you may be a little bit nervous. You guys are still favorites. Favorites to win the West, maybe favorites to win the whole thing. And I'm not going to argue with you if you feel like you're favorites. You should feel like favorites. But you can't tell me as an OKC fan, you're not going to be a little bit nervous if LeBron and Luka walk up in there. Ooh. Y'all really want that? Y'all ready for that? We saw what Luka did last year with the Mavs. Not that he was so dominant against OKC, but we know Lu Dort beat him up and all that, but we've seen him before. We saw him against the Timberwolves. We know what Luka could do, and we know what Bron can do. I don't know. It kind of makes you pause if I were an OKC fan. But they're the clear favorites to win a title. Definitely contenders. I love their team. I love watching them play. They play as a team together. They got a bunch of guys, like I said, who play both sides of the ball. They lack height. That will be a problem, right? So against the Lakers, they don't have any height, really. Chet's not really, you know, deterring anybody like that. He's lightweight. So they may struggle, right? I could see, you know, if they play the Lakers, I could see LeBron taking it to the hole every time because they don't have any height and try to foul every single person out. So they'll struggle. They will struggle against Denver. I think OKC will struggle against Denver because the Joker would just foul people out or score easy baskets. Now, the problem with Denver is I don't think they have enough shooting, but you never know. So again, OKC is a favorite. OKC is a title contender in the West. But right now, they're 57-12. The Rockets are 45-25. You would think if they get into the playoffs, they would blow everybody out. OKC's going to run through everybody and make it to the championship round. And I don't see it that way. They're a really good team. I would not say they're just a regular season team. They're absolutely a title contender, but I don't think OKC has an easy run to the championship like some people think, right? So it's two camps. People who think they're going to run through and people who think they're a regular season team and they're going to get kicked out early. I think they're a title contender, but they're going to have some long series because they lack height and teams, smart teams, are going to take advantage of that. So my contenders in the West are OKC, Nuggets, the Warriors, somewhat, only out of respect for Jimmy Butler and Steph, and the Timberwolves. And that's probably only because I made my pick at the beginning of the season, and I don't want to back off. But season's winding down, man. We'll see how it plays out. Of course, I'll be back with more episodes, talk more hoops now that, you know, I'm over this stuff. Should be able to record more. So y'all stay around, y'all stay locked in. More to come on that. Of course, more real stuff coming too. Stay tuned for those episodes. East. Contenders is just Boston and the Bucks. Two teams. West, OKC, Nuggets, Warriors, out of respect for Steph and Jimmy, and the Timberwolves, because that was my pick and I'm stubborn. Now, I really do think the Timberwolves can put it together, y'all. I really do. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Nice catching up with y'all. Let me know what y'all think. Y'all think the Lakers are really contenders? Are the Lakers really contenders? People talking like the Lakers about to win the chip, man. I'm like, are y'all watching? I know they're winning games, but they can win series. I'm not saying they're scrubs. I'm not saying they're going to get kicked out early. The Lakers can win series, but I'm sorry. Like, Luka's going to have to defend at some point, and he still hasn't shown the propensity to want to do that. Austin Reeves, like, guys are going to have to make three-pointers that right now can't shoot. You never know. That's the beauty of sports. All right, I'm going to leave it here, y'all. Appreciate y'all hanging out with me about an hour. I'm going to catch you guys next time, though. Y'all be good. Mike, Sports in the Real Shit.
I'm going straight to the top, just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.